Welcome to the Bone Coach Show, dedicated to helping you understand all things related to diet, lifestyle, bone health, and how you can live and thrive with low bone density and osteoporosis. I'm your host, Kevin Ellis, certified health coach, health and wellness speaker, and above all else, your bone coach. After being diagnosed with osteoporosis in my early 30s, I transformed my health through diet and lifestyle and now help my clients and community members do the same through my online coaching practice, BoneCoach.com. Look, there are no quick and easy cures for low bone density, but the choices we make every single day can have a powerful impact on our bones, our health, and our general well-being. I'll share the research, interview the experts, and help you figure out how to get the conditions right in your body so you can better your bones through diet and lifestyle. Short disclaimer, I'm not a medical doctor and this show should not be considered medical advice. Always consult with your healthcare team before making medical decisions and changes to your diet and lifestyle. With that being said, let's get on with the show.
Brain function deteriorates. Literally, our brain shrinks down when our hormone levels are low. Our muscles shrink down as we age with the loss of our hormones. And muscles are very important to prevent us from becoming frail little old ladies as we get older. They're very important to drive our immune system health. So we want to maintain our muscles. And our heart health declines. So when women are younger, we have much less risk of heart disease than men do, because estrogen is protecting our heart. But after menopause, the risk for men and women becomes the same because we lose the protection from estrogen.
If you haven't done so already, especially if you're newly diagnosed with osteopenia or osteoporosis, or if your most recent bone density scan still showed more bone loss, go ahead and pause this episode and head over to BoneCoach.com to sign up for your free 7-day osteoporosis kickstart guide. That's going to give you everything you need step by step by step over the next 7 days to get on the path to improvement and stronger bones. You won't want to miss that. So pause this right now, head over to BoneCoach.com, and I'll be here as soon as you get back. Welcome to this episode of the Bone Coach Show. Joining us today to explore hormones, bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, cortisol, and even the connection between low T and bone health is Dr. Deb Matthew. Dr. Deb Matthew is the Happy Hormones Doctor, a best-selling author, international speaker, educator, wife, and mom of four boys. After suffering for years with fatigue and irritability due to hormone imbalances, her quest to resolve her personal health led her to change everything about her practice of medicine. She's been featured on national podcasts, radio, and broadcast shows, including NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox. Dr. Deb, it is great to have you here today.
Hey, it's so good to be here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this conversation. Now, let's talk about your background, how you got into the field of helping people with hormone health and really optimizing their health and their lives through bioidentical hormone replacement therapy and all the other things that you do.
Yeah, well, I started out my career as a regular old doctor, but I didn't feel good. I used to be tired all the time. Napping was my favorite hobby. And I used to be cold all the time. I live in North Carolina, but I would take a sweater even in the summer everywhere I went because the air conditioning in the movie theaters and the restaurants would just leave me shivering. And I was always struggling with my weight and I didn't really understand what was going on. And then things got worse. I started to get really irritable and I was just shrieking at my kids for the littlest things. And I felt like such a guilty mom. And it was my poor husband who kind of bore the brunt of my Wicked Witch of the West impersonation. And I'm really lucky that he was a patient guy because I wasn't always so nice. And I knew that something wasn't right. I knew that how I was feeling and how I was behaving wasn't normal, but nothing in my medical training helped me understand what was going on. It was so confusing. And one day, he came home with a book that he suggested that I might want to read. And it was a book about women's hormones written by Suzanne Summers, right? You remember Chrissy Snow from Three's Company, and she had the Thighmaster. And you can just imagine, right? Doctors don't want to get their medical information from celebrities. Like, I didn't want to read the book. I thought he was nuts, but I didn't know what else to do. And so I read the book, and honestly, that book has changed my whole life. Because when I read the stories in the book about women who were just like me and how much better they felt when they got their hormones in balance, it allowed me to open my mind and really understand what was wrong. Because I had hypothyroidism. I knew that. It took 10 years of symptoms before the doctors finally like diagnosed it and did the right tests. And then I was already at this point on thyroid replacement medicine for 10 years. My labs were normal, but it wasn't making me feel normal. And now I was entering into perimenopause, you know, the time before menopause. And that was making my female hormones shift. And so it was making me really irritable and I wasn't sleeping well and I didn't feel like myself. So now that I understood, I was able to get the help that I needed to get my hormones balanced. I got my energy back. My kids got their mom back. My husband got his wife back. I got my life back, but I couldn't go back to just writing prescriptions all day long because that just didn't make sense anymore. It didn't feel right. So I completely retired from what I was doing. That was back in 2006. And I retrained. And ever since then, I've been helping men and women get their hormones balanced so that they can get well, get off a lot of those prescription drugs and love the way they feel.
I love that. What is hormone balancing? Let's talk about that because people may hear that and they're wondering, well, how do you balance hormones? Like what does that actually look like?
Yeah. Okay. So hormones are chemical messengers. They go through our bloodstream and they tell our body what to do. So if you don't have the right amount of the different hormones, your body gets the wrong messages and then you don't feel good. Medical doctor, what we are trained to do is we are trained to treat diseases. So if you have a hormonal disease, if you have diabetes, if you have hypothyroidism, like there are certain diseases that we're trained to deal with. But if the problem is that your hormones are somewhere in the normal range, but they're not making you feel right, there's things we can do to make it better. So as an example, some of the hormones have equal and opposite actions. So if one of them is at the high end of the normal range and the other one is at the low end of the normal range, technically they're both normal, but because they're out of balance, you don't feel great. And so one example of this, for example, is estrogen and progesterone, which are two of the female hormones. Estrogen causes you to retain fluid, progesterone is like a natural diuretic, helps you lose fluid. And so if you have too much estrogen compared with progesterone, you retain fluid, you're all puffy and you don't feel good. So that's just one example.
That's great. Well, actually, do you want to give a couple other examples? I mean, that's probably really helpful for people.
Yeah. Okay. So another example, which was my problem with thyroid, is our thyroid gland, which sits in our neck, makes a thyroid hormone called T4. It goes around and around in our bloodstream, but it doesn't really do anything. When it gets into your tissues, you have to be able to activate it into T3. That's the one that your body really needs. And so if you have T4, whether it's from your thyroid gland or whether you're like me and you have to take a pill that has the T4 in it, but if you can't activate it into the T3, then you don't feel that thyroid. So you have all the symptoms of low thyroid, but your lab tests are going to look okay. So it's an imbalance that kind of falls through the cracks in our medical system. So when our hormones aren't doing the right thing, there are a lot of symptoms that people can experience. Hormones impact our energy level, so we can feel tired. They impact our quality of sleep, so we don't sleep soundly through the night. A lot of times people will wake up like at 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. and you're just sort of staring at the ceiling and hard to fall back asleep again. A lot of times the hormones affect our mood. They impact how we feel on the inside, how we relate to other people, how we react to the world around us. And so the most common thing that I hear when people come to see me is, I just don't feel like myself. I just want to feel like me again. I just want to feel normal. And you know, when if you go to your doctor and you try that, like, I just don't feel like myself. Something is wrong. I don't feel right. You know, that's got Prozac written all over it, right? What we're trained to do in medical school is to write prescriptions. And so if you don't feel good, what we have to treat you with are antidepressants and anxiety pills and sleeping pills. But if it's a hormone imbalance, then those pills aren't really going to fix the problem. They won't work all the way and get you feeling all the way back to yourself again.
So that's maybe just the traditional route. So somebody goes that route and they may end up with a prescription for Prozac or something like that. But what if they go the route toward you? Like, what does that route look like?
So what we do is if somebody comes in, we want to take a really thorough history because hormones affect all different parts of you. They affect how your gut works and how your brain is working and your muscles and your bones and, you know, so many different parts of you. So I think a lot of times when you go to the doctor, you've got one doctor for your digestive health and you've got your gynecologist for your female parts and your dermatologist for your skin. But a lot of times those things are interconnected. So we want to look at the big picture to really understand how people are feeling and try to connect the dots between symptoms that might go together. And then we want to measure hormone levels because we can actually see where you stand. And it's not enough to know that they're in the normal range. So let me give an example. If you are menopausal and your ovaries are no longer making estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, those are the three that comes from the ovaries. Common symptoms that you can experience is hot flashes and night sweats. And if that's happening, you know, you probably know that it has something to do with your hormones and menopause. But other common symptoms are brain symptoms, like you can't remember why you walked in the room or where you left your car keys or what's that guy's name again? Or that word that you want to say, it's like right on the tip of your tongue, but you just can't quite find it. And, you know, when you're 16 and you can't remember the word that you want to say, you'll just laugh about it. But, you know, as we get a little older, it's not so funny anymore. And you can't help but worry that these are the early signs of dementia. So estrogen, especially, but all of these hormones together are very important for brain health. So the hot flashes, the brain function, the memory, the mood, the sleep, all of these things are really common issues. And another one is pelvic health, like vaginal dryness, leaking urine, painful sex, low libido. That's a very common complaint that women have as they go through menopause. But these are things that are imminently fixable. And so you don't have to put up with feeling that way. But so we look at all of these different symptoms. We measure your hormone levels. If you are menopausal and your estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone have gone down because your ovaries have kind of retired, the normal range for hormone levels is extremely low because after you go through menopause, your hormone levels are supposed to be down. The lab tests are sort of set up to look for like tumors and terrible medical issues. So almost certainly, if you go and ask your doctor to measure your hormone levels, first of all, a lot of times they're just going to say that's not what they do. We don't measure hormone levels. But if they do, a lot of the times what I see is women are just told your hormones are normal. And they might be normal in the sense that they're really low because your ovaries have retired, but that doesn't mean that that's optimal or the healthiest way to be or good for your bones or, you know, where you would really want to be. So how the tests are interpreted is really, really important. It's not that we want you to have so many hormones that it's like you're 21 again, but we don't want you to be hormonally deficient because there's a lot of health risks. There's a lot of symptoms like we're talking about, but there's also a lot of medical issues that spring up when women are hormonally deficient. We talked about brain function. So our brain function deteriorates. Literally, our brain shrinks down when our hormone levels are low. Our muscles shrink down as we age with the loss of our hormones. And muscles are very important to prevent us from becoming frail little old ladies as we get older. They're very important to drive our immune system health. So we want to maintain our muscles, and our heart health declines. So when women are younger, we have much less risk of heart disease than men do because estrogen is protecting our heart. But after menopause, the risk for men and women becomes the same because we lose the protection from estrogen. And then a really, really important one, of course, is bone health, because estrogen helps to prevent bone loss. Progesterone stimulates new bone growth, and testosterone is what gives our bones strength so that we don't snap like a twig when we fall down. And each of the hormones works in a little bit different way to build up your bone and keep it strong. And there's no medicine that can do that. So there's lots of medicines, of course, for your bones, but they don't build normal bone architecture the way that hormones do. And hormones are preventive. So we would like to, for those who choose to be on any kind of hormone therapy, we'd like to start the hormones relatively younger, sooner towards the time of menopause. But for your bones, even if you were to start the hormones later on, they still have bone protective benefits.
That's great. And such a detail. I'm sure people appreciate hearing this kind of detail as they're trying to really understand their hormonal picture. And you mentioned one that a lot of people probably just associate with men, which is testosterone. So it plays an important role in women's health, but also in men's health. Can you talk about men's health also? Because I'm sure people listening have spouses, partners, significant others who are probably affected by this.
Okay. So we think about osteoporosis or bone health in general, so much more in women than we think about it for men. And part of the reason is, you know, men are, they have more dense bones to start with. So it takes more bone loss to really cause a problem. They have more muscle mass to start with, you know, and then muscle mass decreases naturally as we age. But so women just tends to have higher rates of bone fractures because we start with less dense bones and less muscle mass. But absolutely, men get osteoporosis too. They can break their hips. They can have spine fractures. So men have to be, concerned about their bones as well. And for men, testosterone and estrogen are also very important for keeping their bones strong, just like for women. So we're going to talk about testosterone, but men actually need estrogen for their bones as well. And the way that men get estrogen is it's made from their testosterone. So their bodies make testosterone. Some of that testosterone converts to estrogen. Estrogen prevents the bone loss. Testosterone keeps their bones nice and strong. But as we age, testosterone levels for men go down, and it's not as dramatic as for women. Like for women, we get the hot flashes, our periods stop. Like we kind of know that we're going through menopause. And for some, it's an easy ride and some it's a bumpy ride. For men, though, it's a more gradual decline that happens over time. So it's not obvious. And, you know, it kind of creeps up on you and you might not really notice it. But when men end up having low testosterone, it causes them to just feel more tired, more flat, less motivated. You know, they would be more likely to sit on the couch and watch golf instead of going out to play golf, for example. It affects their mood. So, you know, we talk about grumpy old men. So low testosterone impact, it makes more irritable, could be more depressed, more anxious. So it's not that unusual for men to have anxiety or depression. But again, if you were to, as a man, go to the doctor, complain about your mood, you're probably going to get a prescription for, you know, the antidepressants or the anxiety medications, but it could be your testosterone. And if that's the case, if low testosterone is the real problem, then the Prozac is not going to fix the situation. So it's important to know how it feels to have low testosterone. So it could be anxiety, could be depression, could be just feeling flat, blah, unmotivated, can cause more weight gain. So lower muscle mass. So even if you're trying to exercise and work out, it's harder to build muscle, more likely to be losing muscle and then gaining body fat instead. It can affect memory. So low testosterone is associated with more risks for dementia. And in fact, there was a really interesting study. They took men who had early dementia and they gave them some testosterone. Just they were hoping that maybe it would actually help to slow the rate of decline in dementia because we don't have any good treatments for dementia. And what they actually found in only a month is that the men had an improvement in their cognitive function from being on the testosterone. So I don't think we can say that we can give testosterone to treat dementia, but at least we definitely know that it's good for brain health and, good for prevention. Other things that men notice when testosterone is low is decline in sexual function. So desire goes down, erectile function is not as good, focus, concentration, you know, there's just so many different symptoms and all of them are kind of vague, right? Like it's not obvious that it would be from testosterone. And so if there's a suspicion that maybe something's just not quite the same as it used to be, the best way to find out is to just do a test. And it's so much easier for men to get their hormone levels tested than for women. So if a man goes into his doctor and says, I don't know, I think there might be something up with my hormones, most doctors these days will be perfectly happy to order a testosterone level. Whereas for the women, it's just so much harder. But for men, testosterone is important for bone health. And we're seeing more and more low testosterone levels in younger and younger men. It used to be something that happened, you know, when men are in their 60s and 70s. I'm seeing men in their 20s in my office with low testosterone. And so for men who've gone through many years and decades of low testosterone, and then also then low estrogen, because it's made out of testosterone. If you don't have much testosterone, you don't have much estrogen. And so they're just at greater risk for osteoporosis, just like we women are.
And what are maybe the things, the lifestyle or natural things that could potentially be remedied first before we get into the bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, which I do want to talk about here very shortly?
Yeah, okay. There's a lot of things that are really important for hormone health. And the good news is it's the same for men and for women. And the first thing is to do our best to try to manage stress in a healthy way. When we are stressed, cortisol goes up. That's our stress hormone. And cortisol helps us cope with stress, which is great in the short term. But when we're chronically stressed day in and day out, cortisol can become chronically elevated. And if you live your life with high cortisol, that's not good, because cortisol is an aging hormone. It is a wear and tear hormone. It eats away at your bones. So now you're more prone, you know, pushes you to osteoporosis. It shrinks your brain, so pushes you to dementia. It's bad for your blood sugar, and it pushes you to diabetes. So nothing about high cortisol is good for you. And then it causes the belly fat, right? We all hate that belly fat. So when you have too much stress, cortisol goes up, not good for bone health or any kind of health. And the trick is not to not have stress. If that was possible, that would be awesome. But, you know, the real trick is that it's not how much stress you have, it's how you allow the stress to affect you. So if you're a worrier, if you always jump to the worst case scenario, then you can take a bad situation or a stressful situation, you can just make it so much worse. Whereas if you can learn to do a better job at counting your blessings and being optimistic and feeling grateful, you can actually take that same amount of stress and protect yourself from some of the harmful effects of stress on your body. And so some of the really simple things that we can do is breathing exercises, simply breathing in and out, nice, deep, slow breaths that lowers our cortisol and reduces our stress response. Gratitude, thinking of three things that you're grateful for. Your body, interestingly, can't feel grateful and fearful or bitter or angry at the same time. So thinking of three things that you're grateful for is a really great way to reduce stress. And the nice thing about all of these is they're easy, they're free, they don't require training, they don't require a lot of time, we can all do it. It's just a matter of being aware. So there's other things, yoga, walking, of course, right? All the things that we can do for stress. But lowering stress or protecting ourselves from stress is a really important thing for our hormones, because cortisol regulates all your other hormones. And so women going through menopause who have more stress and higher cortisol have more menopausal symptoms. And if we can take women who, you know, are going through menopause, having the hot flashes and everything, there's a study that was done, took them to a spa for a week, pampered them, let their cortisol levels go down, and their hot flashes got better. So I think Blue Cross Blue Shield should let me write a prescription for a week at the spa in order to treat hot flashes, but I don't think that's going to work out.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. So lowering stress is a big one. Another really important one is exercise. The more physically active we are, of course, that's good for our muscles and our bones, right? But the more physically active we can be, the better it is for our hormones. And this is especially true for men who have low testosterone. Lifting weights, so resistance exercise, is one of the things that gives a boost in testosterone levels. And it does it more so for men than for women. So it's important for women too. But exercise is another important piece of it. And the third thing is our nutrition. And eating a whole foods diet is what really matters the most. Foods that don't come in packages with the labels. And is there anything really more confusing than what's the healthiest way to eat, right? There's vegans and there's carnivores and there's paleo and there's Mediterranean. It's like so exhausting. It's kind of like we get nutritional whiplash, you know, on TV, you know, on The Doctors or one of those shows, somebody will be on Monday, it's an expert, and they'll say, oh no, eggs are bad, don't eat eggs. And then on Tuesday, somebody else is on and now eggs are good again. And then on Wednesday, it's something different. Like you don't even know what to think. It's hard to imagine that something that we all have to do every single day for all of humanity could become so confusing. But what's really important to hormones is whole foods, not the packaged processed foods. And it turns out that fat is actually important for hormones, because all of these hormones that we're talking about, the estrogen, the progesterone, the testosterone, the cortisol, they're all made out of cholesterol. So cholesterol is not a terrible thing. It's, and the medicines that drive down drive down cholesterol actually can interfere with our ability to produce our hormones if the cholesterol is driven down too low. But so we want the healthy fats in our diet, and that's the really important key. So if you were going to do one thing today as a result of this podcast, like make one change in your life, a really simple, easy thing that I would recommend is get an oil change. So look at whatever cooking oils you have and toss out the vegetable seed oils, the canola, the safflower, the corn oils, just chuck them or use them up and buy a different one next time, but replace them with extra virgin olive oil or avocado oil or coconut oil. These are healthy oils that will do good for your hormones as opposed to the seed oils that are very inflammatory and can cause problems. So avocados are a great healthy fat, wild caught fish, nuts and seeds, and healthy fats actually are really good for your hormones.
Such great actionable suggestions that Dr. Deb has just given us here. And now let's talk about bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, because that would be like the next step, right? So we address some of the lifestyle things after we do some testing. Yep. Now we're considering bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. How do I know if it's right for me? What does that look like? And is there a situation where I shouldn't do it and it's not right for me?
Yeah. So just like we get nutritional whiplash because the experts can't all agree on what we should be eating, hormones is another one where we kind of get whiplash. When I was in medical school in the 90s, I was trained that all women should go on hormone replacement therapy when they go through menopause because it's going to protect their heart, their brain, and their bones. We knew this. And then in 2002, this great big study came out that said, whoa, stop the bus. Women are getting breast cancer. And as doctors, we want to help people. We don't want to be doing anything that's going to be causing harm. So we were horrified. And overnight, hormones went from the greatest thing since sliced bread to bad, dangerous, you're all going to die. We as the doctors were telling all of our patients, no, don't go on hormone therapy. So this was right around 2002. So anybody who went through menopause in the early 2000s, and it's still around today, but especially at that time, they were told no on the hormones, just tough it out, don't do it. And we thought we were doing the right thing, but it turns out we made a mistake. What we know now, so this was, 20 years ago, what we know now is that in the study, there were women who were on estrogen only, and then there were women who were on estrogen and progesterone and a combo pill. So this combo pill didn't actually have real progesterone in it. It had a synthetic chemical that was mimicking, it was trying to mimic progesterone, but it wasn't the same thing. And that is what was associated with the increase in the risk for breast cancer. It was a very small increase in the risk. 8 more cases of breast cancer for every 10,000 women. So the reports made it sound like all these women across America are getting breast cancer. And it was really only 8 out of every 10,000. So it was a small number, but nonetheless, who wants breast cancer, right? We want to be prudent. The other group of women got estrogen only, no progesterone. These are women who'd had a hysterectomy and they didn't have their uterus. And we were mainly using the progesterone to help prevent bleeding from the estrogen. So they don't have a uterus. They didn't need the progesterone. Those women did not have an increase in the risk for breast cancer. So it was not estrogen that was increasing breast cancer risk, even though that's what everybody knows, that estrogen increases the risk for breast cancer, but that's a myth. It is not true. Estrogen does not cause breast cancer. It does not increase your risk for breast cancer. It was the drug form of progesterone. Well, now we have a natural form of progesterone that we can use that does not increase the risk for breast cancer. So for women who aren't feeling good, they've got painful sex, they can't remember why they walked in the room, their mood is all over the map, they're tired all the time, they can't lose weight, they're not sleeping, like they don't feel good and they don't feel like themselves anymore. There are ways that we can give you hormone replacement therapy that don't have the same risks as what we were doing with those synthetic pills in the past. The kind of hormones that I recommend are called bioidentical hormones. And what that simply means is they are an exact match to the hormones that your ovaries used to make. So at least in theory, your body can't tell the difference. Did they come from the pharmacy or did they come from your ovaries? It's the exact same thing. When we use the hormones that way, they have not been shown to increase the risk for breast cancer. and we can measure your levels. When you were on the synthetic pills, there's no blood test for that. So there's no way that we could measure to see if we had you on the right dose, but we can measure when you're on the bioidentical hormones. So first of all, we take a history and make sure that it even seems like your problem could be from hormones. We measure your levels because we only want to replace the hormones that you're deficient in. If you already have enough of something, there's no need to give you more. And we want to make sure that you're not having side effects. So whatever dose we start you on, we just want a low dose, see how you feel, and then we can adjust it. So you should just feel normal and you should not have side effects. So I can't promise that some of us are going to get breast cancer, whether we're on hormone replacement therapy or not. The reality is a lot of breast cancer is caused by toxins in the environment, not by genes and not by hormones. But being on bioidentical hormone replacement therapy does not statistically increase your chances for getting breast cancer. Now, there are some women who probably shouldn't be on estrogen and progesterone. If you actually have breast cancer right now and it's estrogen fed, then that's probably not the best idea for you. Or if you're somebody who maybe has a very strong family history and it makes you very nervous and worried, then maybe this isn't the best thing for you. Let's do all the other things to get you healthier and feeling better. And maybe you're not the right person for hormones. And sometimes if people have vaginal bleeding, if they're through menopause, their period's over, but now they're having bleeding going on, that's another reason. So the estrogen can make the bleeding worse. And so that needs to all be sorted out before you would ever think of any kind of hormone therapy. So the good news is hormone replacement therapy is always optional. You don't have to be on hormone therapy. But if you want to be on hormone therapy, it has a lot of really great benefits. And, you know, one of the analogies that I really like, I have a gynecologist friend, and how he says it is, when we get over about 40 years old, I don't know if you've gone through this yet, Kevin, but what happens is you have to start holding the paper farther away so that you can see it because your eyesight changes. And it's not that we tell people, well, you know, it's just normal for your vision to change over 40. You're not going to be able to read things anymore because your eyes don't work. What we do is we say, okay, well, here's these reading glasses. If you put the reading glasses on, then you can see and you can read and you can do all the things that you want to do. And I kind of think of bioidentical hormones the same way. You don't have to be on bioidentical hormones any more than you have to put your reading glasses on. But if you want to feel good, stay healthy, live life to the fullest, have less wrinkles, you know, hormones have a whole lot of really great benefits. And for a lot of people, it makes a really big difference.
And then maybe we can touch on the side for men also. When would bioidentical hormone replacement therapy not be right for men, or when would they consider it?
Sure. Okay. So first of all hormone replacement therapy for men is bioidentical. It's only for women that we've used these synthetic drugs that caused all these problems and messed us up. But for men, if they're not feeling good, we do a blood test. We see if their testosterone level is low, and, you know, and then we can try hormone replacement therapy. There are not a lot of contraindications or like reasons why a man shouldn't, but if they have prostate cancer, testosterone doesn't cause prostate cancer. But if you have prostate cancer right now, you're probably not a good candidate. There's been a lot of back and forth, more of this whiplash about whether testosterone is associated with heart disease. Now, we know that testosterone prevents heart disease in men. But the question is, if you're a man who has heart disease, will adding testosterone cause you to have worse problems? And it seems like the answer is no. But if you have heart disease, that would be a whole conversation that you would want to have with your doctor to just kind of go through the risks and the benefits of it.
Sure. And maybe we can lay out for both women and men, what are the different forms when we actually talk about bioidentical hormone replacement therapy? What does that look like? Because there are creams, there are patches, there are pellets, all those kinds of things.
Sure. Okay. So bioidentical hormones, first of all, could come from the regular pharmacy, you know, Walmart pharmacy or CVS or whatever. They can be covered by your insurance. Although Medicare is kind of hard to get anything covered, but it's theoretically could be covered. Even in the bioidentical forms, more and more bioidentical forms of hormones are becoming available because the pharmaceutical companies are getting the message. We as women don't want synthetic drugs. We want the natural stuff. So they're making more and more of it for us. So that's good. Estrogen comes as a pill. Depending on your history, oral estrogen or pill form sometimes can increase the risk for a blood clot. Whereas topical estrogen, it comes in a patch, it comes as a topical cream, is much less likely to increase the risk for a blood clot. But the synthetic estrogen is the one that's the real culprit here, not so much the natural one. But there's pills, there's topical creams, and they can be applied, you know, just to the back of your arm or the inside of your thigh. And actually a really great place to apply the cream is on the inner labia, like the outer part of the vagina, because that mucous membrane skin soaks it in really nicely. It also comes as lozenges called troches that dissolve under your tongue. It comes as pellets, which looks like a little Tic Tac. And we make a little, we numb up the skin on the back of your hip. We make a little teeny weeny incision like a paper cut. And then it just slides under your skin. We put little sticker band-aids over it to just close up the paper cut. And then it slowly dissolves over the next 3 or 4 months. So you get a nice stable level and eventually it'll just wear off and we can replace it. So there's different hormones that we want to talk about. Estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, depends on the person. And then for each one, there's different forms, whether it's pills or creams or lozenges or pellets or whatever. So there's lots of choices, lots of options, some covered by health insurance, some not. But it's really nice that we have so many choices available to us.
That's fantastic. This has been so informative. I know everybody's learned a lot just from listening to you share all this helpful information. And maybe what we can do is, can you share with them where they can find you and how you best support people?
Sure. So my website is signaturewellness.org, and we have lots of information about this whole approach to hormones, because it's not just getting a prescription for hormones. Really, when I say bioidentical hormones, I'm not just talking about the actual hormones themselves. I'm talking about this approach to hormones where we're looking at the whole person and we're looking at your nutrition and stress and all the other things that factor into how the hormones are working in your body. So we have information on the website. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, and so we can only see people if they actually come to the office in Charlotte, North Carolina. But for women who are wondering if their symptoms could be from a hormone problem and want to know more, I wrote a book. And if it's okay with you, I can give the link. People can download a free copy of the book.
Yeah,
it's called This Is Not Normal, A Busy Woman's Guide to Symptoms of Hormone Imbalance. And there's a bunch of quizzes. So you can like do the little checklists to see, does it sound like your testosterone is low? Does it sound like your estrogen is low, or what, you know, cortisol is high or whatever. The book has tips on how you can start to get your hormones balanced. And it also has resources for websites you can go to try to find a doctor in your area that can help you.
That's fantastic. And I'm sure, I mean, we've got a couple hundred thousand people in our community. So I'm sure there are some listening that are in Charlotte, North Carolina. So if you're listening, you know where to find Dr. Deb Matthew. And then everybody, for everybody listening, down in the show notes, I'm going to make sure I link to the resources that Dr. Deb just shared with us. But I just want to say thank you so much for your time. This was so informative. You gave some great actionable information. Any last things you want to share with our audience before we part ways and say hola to the next episode?
Yeah, sure. So I guess what I would love to just, the message I'd love to leave you all with is, we all need to take responsibility for our own health. Your doctor does not have a pill that is going to fix you. There is so, you have so much power over your own health and wellness, and take hold of that. Take hold of all of this information, because it makes such a big difference. And living well is the best medicine.
Absolutely. Love that message. And for everybody listening, I want to thank you again so much for taking the time. If you found it helpful, be sure to share this episode with people that were in your family, your friends that may be affected and want some extra information. And for everybody listening, you can find all the resources and show notes over at bonecoach.com. We'll see you in the next episode.
Hope you found this episode of the Bone Coach Show helpful. You can find all the resources, show notes, everything mentioned over at bonecoach.com. If you enjoyed this episode and found it helpful, be sure to share it with someone you love, a friend, family member, even a group of people. And also be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode that can help you improve your bones, your health, and your future. One last reminder, if you haven't done so already, head over to bonecoach.com. for more great resources to help you get on the path to stronger bones and an active future. I'm your Bone Coach, Kevin Ellis. I'll see you in the next episode.